Our talk and conversation this morning is about what the worship leader said, honesty. We have all heard the familiar saying, honesty is the best policy. Also, we've heard the expression, speak the truth and let the devil be ashamed. So when we think of honesty is the best part, but this raises an important question. What do the world's great spiritual traditions actually teach about honesty? Because they tend to be the foundation of our moral fiber. When we look carefully at the scriptures from different faiths, we discover a remarkable unity. Although these traditions developed in different cultures and centuries apart, they all recognize honesty as one of the essential foundations of a meaningful, peaceful, and spiritually awakened life. Honesty is more than simply avoiding lies. It is living in alignment with reality. It is allowing our words, our thoughts, and our actions to become one. When there's harmony between what we think and what we say and what we do, we experience integrity. You don't have to worry, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. You've done your best. That integrity brings peace within ourselves and trust from others. People tend to trust those who they feel they are honest. So let's start with Christianity and Judaism. Since there are two peas in a pod. The Bible emphasizes that living truthfully pleases God and creates inner stability. The book of Proverbs declares, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. That's Proverbs 12:22. Notice the emphasis. God delights not simply in truthful words, but in people who deal truthfully, people whose entire way of life reflects honesty. Well, that's how Jesus ended up being killed. He told the truth, even though they didn't want to hear it. And if they were just willing to listen, they might find out, oh, he wasn't saying anything bad. He's saying, don't subjugate your fellow human thinking you know it all. But that's why they got him killed. The ninth commandment, remember we have the commandment from Moses. The ninth commandment reinforces this principle. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Exodus 20, verse 16. This commandment reminds us that dishonesty destroys trust. And without trust, families, friendships, businesses, and entire societies begin to crumble. If you see two people fighting, it's because there's some mistrust between them. You will not see Ukraine saying, oh, we're going to be friends with Russians. But not all Russians, it's because their president has polluted the water. There's no trust. The Apostle Paul later writes, therefore, having put away falsehood, Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of the same family of one another. This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25. Paul reminds us that humanity is interconnected. When we deceive another person, we ultimately damage the community to which we ourselves belong. Another proverb beautifully captures the practical value of honesty. That's Proverbs 11, verse 3. This is what it says. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. So don't worry your head if the crooked think they are getting away. No, they are not. It's coming to bite them in the ass. And they will not have the bottom to sit on. Integrity becomes our compass. Dishonesty eventually becomes our downfall. In Islam, this is what was expressed about this. The Quran and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, closely connect honesty with righteousness and spiritual purity. Even Prophet Muhammad himself was known as Al-Amin, meaning the trustworthy. I hope all the followers of Muhammad, Jesus, Krishna, I hope they were like. Long before receiving the revelation, that revelation that turned into the Quran, people recognize his honesty and reliability, because that's why his wife, remember his wife is older than him, and his wife was the business person. And the way they came together is because he was a trustworthy, very honest person. He will not take a good that doesn't belong to him. The Quran teaches, O you who believe, fear Allah and speak words of appropriate justice. That is in the Surah Al-Ahzab 33, verse 70. Notice that that truthful speech is joined with justice. And we're going to expand on that in that part. Truth is not meant to become a weapon, but an instrument of fairness and righteousness. The Prophet Muhammad also said, truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. And the paradise Prophet Muhammad was talking is not with 72 virgins. And that tells you the followers are not truthful, they are not honest. Because they are expecting 72 virgins there, as if people make love when they go on the other side. Let me repeat that. Truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. A man continues speaking the truth until he is recorded with Allah as a truthful person. Does that sink in? When you keep doing that, it becomes, because it's your nature to be truthful, it becomes you. And this is recorded with Allah as a truthful person. Every truthful word gradually shapes our character. That's how it builds up. Eventually, honesty stops being something we practice. It becomes who we are. Jesus didn't have to practice it. It's who he is. Muhammad didn't have to practice it. It's who he is. Krishna doesn't have to practice. Did you hear Mother Mary trying to practice it? No, it's who she is. And that's why they still revere her today. In Hinduism, in Hindu philosophy, Satya If you don't know what Satya means, Satya Sai Baba, or Satya, you know, Satya Sai Guru. Satya meaning truthfulness is regarded as one of the highest virtues and an indispensable discipline for spiritual evolution. If you are not honest, you're just kidding yourself. You will not develop. Don't think you will be enlightened. You have to put in the effort, and now the grace of God will clean the rest up. Om Guru, Om Guru Satya, Nada Guru Satya, Nada Guru Yogananda Sadguru. It's talking about truthfulness. That's why you call them guru, because they represent the truthfulness of God. Truth is considered part of the very fabric of the universe. The Upanishad proclaims, the Mundaka Upanishad proclaims, Satyameva Jayate. Truth alone triumphs, not falsehood. Remember they say, you know, rumors goes around why truth is still putting on his pants. Yeah. People can tell lies and all that. Eventually the truth will triumph. People, you can keep people under the darkness of untruthfulness or dishonesty. A speck of light comes and disperses all that darkness. That's why I say truth alone triumphs. So don't give up, no matter what's going on. These words became the national motto of India because they express a timeless spiritual principle that Satyameva Jayate. Truth alone triumphs. That is their national motto in India, not falsehood. Truth may sometimes appear to lose temporarily, but in the long run, truth alone endures. So if people are making fun of you, why do you always have to tell the truth the way it is? Let them make fun. Eventually, your days will come where the people who appreciate the truth will stand by you and they will all celebrate with you. The Bhagavad Gita also provides a profound definition of truthful speech. Speech that is truthful, pleasant, beneficial, non-offensive, and regularly practiced in the study of sacred wisdom is called the austerity of speech. That's in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, verse 15. And we will talk about that, you know, because there are some things in there that we need to to remind ourselves of. Notice that the Gita does not define truth merely as factual accuracy. And we're not talking of alternative truth now. Those of us who were around when those words were buzzing around. Truth must also, it's not about being factual. Truth must also be truthful, beneficial, kind, and free from unnecessary harm. This balances satya with ahimsa, non-violence. Because if you tell the truth that is going to cause somebody a heart attack or just, you know, blow them up in the community, that is violence. How does that relate to God? We'll talk more about that. In other words, truth without compassion can become cruelty. And we've seen it happen. Well, I'm just telling the truth so that the devil can be ashamed. We know the kind of truth you're talking about. Your ego truth. In Buddhism, truthfulness forms one of the core ethical precepts of Buddhism. The Buddha instructed his followers to refrain from, I quote, lying, harsh speech, divisive speech, and idle gossip. These practices are not merely social rules. So when you see the politicians lying through their teeth, just because they want to get votes or whatever, and they wonder why God runs far away from them. And yet they will say, oh, yeah. Sometimes they call them baby Christians. We don't know. These practices are not merely social rules. Don't gossip. Don't do this. They protect the mind itself. Every lie creates inner conflict because we must remember what we said. Now, there are some, they've lied so much that it doesn't even bother them. They don't even know how to tell the truth anymore. But those of us who lie here and there, when you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, that conflict. Others might not see it, but you know it's there. So if you want to protect your mind, do not lie. Do not gossip. Do not do all of this. Truthfulness brings freedom. The Buddha also emphasized being radically honest with ourselves. Because you can't give what you don't have. You can't tell somebody the truth that you have never practiced. Many people suffer because they refuse to acknowledge reality. Mindfulness begins with seeing things exactly as they are, not as we wish they were. If things are not going right, you know it. Acknowledge that. You don't have to tell others, but you acknowledge it between you and your Creator. Don't try and think you are deceiving God. Oh, well, Lord, I'm feeling all right. But of course, the Lord knows you are not feeling all right. Oh, we go to for meditation and church and all of that. Well, it's because I love God. God knows, no. Your love is still very low. You've not watered it, you know. The only reason you come to meditation and church is because you're afraid of going to hell. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. Freedom starts when denial ends. Confucianism. It has nothing to do with being confused now. This is Confucius. Confucius taught that honesty and sincerity are indispensable virtues. He believed social harmony depends upon trust. He taught that if you are honest, people will rely upon you. And we know that. Leadership, family life, education, and government all depend on credibility. I read briefly where they say majority of Americans do not trust Congress. Well, it's not like we just woke up and decide we don't trust them. There's something about them that is not truthful that makes us like, Without honesty, confidence disappears. Without confidence, society weakens. Think about that. Taoism, where the Tao came from. Taoism encourages living in harmony with the Tao, what we call the Tao, the natural order of the universe. That is the way it is. It's honesty. Can you imagine if the Iroko tree and the oak tree are like, well, I'm bigger than you, and the other one. They know their sizes. They know the apple knows itself from the orange. It doesn't try to turn itself into an orange when it's an apple. It's a natural order. The sun knows, okay, I'm going to dawn from the east, and I will set in the west. Natural order of the universe. To do this requires authenticity. to leave that natural order to who we are. The Taoist sage does not wear masks. He does not pretend. He does not manipulate appearances. Instead, he lives naturally and sincerely. The closer we move toward authenticity, the closer we move toward the Tao itself. You don't need to pretend because you are the Tao. You don't need to manipulate anything. Live who you are. Don't be like the Joneses. If God wanted you to be the Joneses, God would have named you Jones. One of the Joneses. Michelle Jones, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Shore Jones, yes. Linda Jones, yes. Moses Jones, yes. But if your name is not Jones, don't try and be like the Jones. Just be yourself. So now when we step back and compare this tradition, something remarkable becomes very clear to all of us now, listening to this. Though different religions, different cultures, different languages, even sometimes they'll think, oh, we have nothing in common, but pay attention. Yet all arrive at the same conclusion. Truthfulness is essential for spiritual growth. Boom, take it to the bank all the way and get a World Cup championship for with it. Dishonesty separates us from reality. Bam. Don't cause an earthquake. Honesty reconnects us with reality, and reality is where peace is found. Remember, we say, if you are honest, you don't have to get, there's no conflict in your mind, you know. You have a peaceful mind. Honesty must be balanced with compassion. However, there's an important distinction here. Many people today speak of radical honesty. Unfortunately, radical honesty is sometimes misunderstood as saying whatever comes into one's mind without resistance. Remember alternative facts? That's not radical honesty. Whatever comes into one's mind without restraint. No, that's not. That is not wisdom. There's a difference between being truthful and being hurtful. Truth should heal whenever possible. Truth should illuminate. Truth should guide. Truth should not become an excuse for unnecessary cruelty. Modern psychologists often speak of radical candor, why many spiritual teachers refer to wise speech. It's the same thing. Both point towards the same principle. Honesty must be guided by compassion. Before speaking, pause. Remember, when something ignites us, you may want to pause before you open your mouth, because once it comes out, you can't take it back. But if you pause and reflect, you might actually take the sting out of your response instead of reaction. So before speaking, say, I'm speaking the truth so that the devil will be ashamed. Pause and ask yourself this. What is my real motive of saying this? Am I trying to help this person grow? Or am I trying to prove I am right? Am I trying to relieve my own frustration? Am I speaking from love or from ego? I have to deal with that on a daily basis because of this work. I know my personality, I know my character, but I have to take them out of what spirit is speaking. Otherwise, there goes the ego. I know a lot of people, or whatever else that comes out of it. Too. Sometimes silence is wider than speech. That's why they encourage most of us to listen, learn to listen, listen to learn. Sometimes timing matters as much as truth itself. Because if the person you are trying to help and tell the truth to are not ready for it, just zip it up. Otherwise, that's your ego trying to push the gate open. Many ancient traditions suggest allowing every important statement, please hear this clearly, to pass through four gates before speaking. First gate is it true? I mean, I had other story I wanted to wrap, but I said that will wait for another time. Maybe next Sunday we'll talk about that. The truth you are about to say, is it true? Truth is always the foundation. If we're uncertain, we should admit uncertainty. Honesty sometimes means saying, I don't know. That takes humility. Remember, the title is Honesty is the Best Policy. The second gate is it necessary? Not every truth needs to be spoken immediately. Some truths have no constructive purpose. Ask yourself, will saying this improve the situation? If it's going to pour gasoline on fire, you better not say it. And if it's weighing you down, you need to get it off your chest. Why don't you go to manhood and just be by yourself in the cave and then just say it loud to the cave instead of telling the person? If it has no constructive purpose, zip it up. Ask yourself, will saying this improve the situation? Will it help the other person? Or am I simply to satisfy my own impulse to speak? Because sometimes we can't help it, we just need to speak. Sometimes waiting is the wisest response. Timing can determine whether truth heals or wounds. The third gate, is it kind? The honesty you want to put, is it kind? Kindness does not weaken truth. It strengthens its effectiveness. If you are speaking the truth and you are not kind, because when you do this work, and I have to learn from Spirit, when Spirit told me, choose your words wisely, I just say, well, you told me this person's good. I'm just going to say it. They say, mm-mm, you don't do that. That's how we know you are just baby, new baby. Maturity matters. The same truth delivered gently is far more likely to be received than truth delivered harshly. Even Moses had to learn that. People rarely remember only what we said. They remember how we made them feel. Sometimes I'm still asking God for forgiveness. Was some things I've done to my siblings. It's not because it's not the truth. It's how did I make them feel? So if you're going to speak the truth to lift that person up, the honest, to lift them up, not to tear them down. Yeah, you might speak the truth, but then they will always remember, oh, he's such a miserable, you know, I'm not going near that one. I didn't want to use the explicit word, you know. Truth wrapped in kindness is easier for the heart to receive. And for those of you who help others through your jobs, you've learned that, haven't you? when you tell the truth, like, okay, look, your grades are not enough, so you're not going to be. But the way you present it, yeah, it's easier for the heart to receive. Or the one they know they don't qualify for something, but they want because of their fear. Yeah. The fourth gate, is it the right time? Even necessary truth can fail if spoken at the wrong moment. A person overwhelmed by grief, anger, or fear may not yet be able to hear what needs to be said. Wisdom knows not only what to say, but also when to say it. I have to learn this. If you think you're walking the path and you won't learn on the job, then you're deceiving yourself. Because nobody knows it all but the wisdom of God. I remember they invited me to talk at a funeral, you know, and I helped the mother to pass on and all of that. And here I am, the 12-year-old, or I don't know, 10-year-old, saying, oh, your mom hasn't died, she's moved to the other side, and you know. The kid doesn't know that, he's grieving, I want, you know. And I remember after the whole thing, the father came and said, well, I thank you for coming and all of that, and we really appreciate it, but I think you should just remember that telling a kid who just won their mother that, okay, the mother is not dead, you say, that doesn't pass the smell test. I mean, he didn't say it that way, but, you know, I got it. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, he was so right. Even grown-ups, they telling them that, you know, oh, your loved one is, they don't want, you know, meet them where they are. And when that wisdom now that is there, he knows only not only what to say, but when to say it. Patience is often an expression of compassion. Living honestly. Honesty is much more than avoiding lies. I said that at the beginning. It means keeping promises, admitting mistakes, acknowledging our weaknesses, giving credit where it belongs. And we know how that goes, isn't it? Refusing to exaggerate. These are the things God expects from us. Being genuine rather than pretending. Speaking consistently, whether someone is present or absent. It also means being honest with ourselves. Many of life's greatest struggles begin with self-deception, and we should avoid it by all means necessary. I sound like Malcolm X now. We convince ourselves that anger is justified. Well, some people say, but it's not. Anger has made a mess of so many things. And once that genie is out, you can't put it back. We excuse selfishness. Oh, we're telling the truth, we're being honest. We deny our fears. We hide behind excuses instead of taking responsibility. Isn't that part of what we talked about last Sunday? Yet, growth begins the moment we courageously face the truth about ourselves. That's when the development comes. As Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. That freedom begins inside. And I add my own, you can't give what you don't have. So to wrap this up, so that I can go to my story and wrap it up real quick. Every major spiritual tradition teaches that honesty is not merely a moral rule, it is a spiritual discipline. It's something we must cultivate every time. Truth builds trust. Trust builds relationships. Relationships build communities. Communities built on truth become places of peace. So let us strive to be the people whose words can be trusted. Let us speak truth with wisdom. Let us practice honesty with humility. I know a lot of people. That is not going to catch now. Let us balance truth with compassion. For when honesty is guided by love, it not only transforms our own lives, it becomes a blessing to everyone around us. Now, I would like to conclude with a simple story that beautifully illustrates why honesty, when joined with wisdom and compassion, has the power to transform both the speaker and the listener, and leaves us with a lesson we can carry into our daily lives. So to bring our conversation to a close this morning, I'd like to leave you with a simple story. This is a story about honesty, integrity, and the quiet courage to remain truthful, even when the truth appears to place us at a disadvantage. A successful businessman was growing older and knew the time had come to choose someone to succeed him as the chief executive officer of his company. Instead of selecting one of his directors or one of his own children, he decided upon a very different approach. This is what he did. He gathered all of the company's young executives together. When everyone had assembled, he said, "It is time for me to step down and choose the next CEO. I have decided that one of you will become my successor." The room fell silent. The young executives looked at one another in surprise. None of them had expected such an announcement. The businessman continued. "Today I'm giving each of you a seed. One very special seed. I want you to take it home, plant it, water it, care for it, and exactly 1 year from today, return with whatever has grown from the seed I have given you. I will examine what each of you has grown, and from that, I will choose the next chief executive officer. Are you all with me?" Among those present was a young executive named Jean, or we could call her Michelle or Shore, or Aaron Moses. Like everyone else, Jim gratefully accepted his seed and hurried home. Excitedly, he shared the story with his wife. Together, they found a suitable flower pot, filled it with rich soil and compost, and carefully planted the seed. Day after day, Jim watered it. Every morning, he looked with anticipation, hoping to see the first tiny shoot emerge. Weeks passed, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. After about 3 weeks, some of the other executives began talking enthusiastically about their plants. One had a healthy green sprout. Another had several leaves already appearing. Others spoke proudly about how quickly their plants were growing. Jim listened quietly. He continued watering his pot faithfully. Still nothing. 4 weeks became five. 5 weeks became two months. Nothing grew. 6 months passed. Still, the soil remained empty. Jim became convinced that somehow he had failed. Perhaps he had watered too much. Some of us know how that works. Perhaps too little. Maybe the soil was wrong. Maybe he had unknowingly killed the seed. I have said that a few times. Meanwhile, the other executives spoke about growing shrubs, flowers, and even small trees. Jim never complained. He simply continued caring for the pot, hoping that somehow life would appear. Finally, the year came to an end. The day had arrived for every executive to present what they had grown. Jim looked at his empty flower pot with disappointment. He turned to his wife and said, "I can't go. I will only embarrass myself." But his wife gently replied, "Go and tell him exactly what happened. Whatever happens, be honest." Those simple words gave Jim the courage he needed. Although his stomach was filled with anxiety, torn like a pretzel, he picked up the empty pot and went to the company headquarters. When he entered the boardroom, he was astonished. Everywhere he looked were magnificent plants. Some were covered with beautiful flowers. Some were tall and lush. Others were elegant miniature trees. The room was alive with color and beauty. Jim quietly placed his empty pot on the floor. Some executives laughed. Others whispered. A few felt genuinely sorry for him. Soon the CEO entered the room. He slowly walked among the displays, carefully observing every plant. "My, oh my," he said with a smile. "What beautiful trees, flowers, and plants you have all grown." Then, without warning, his eyes fell upon Jim, standing quietly at the back beside his empty pot. He called out, "Young man, will you please come to the front?" Jim's heart sank. He thought, "This is it. He knows I failed. Perhaps I will lose my job." With trembling hands, he carried his empty pot forward. The CEO looked at him kindly and asked, "Tell us what happened." Jim honestly explained everything. He told him how he had planted the seed, how he had watered it faithfully, how he had cared for it every day, how nothing had ever grown. When Jim finished speaking, the CEO remained silent for a moment. Then he turned toward everyone gathered in the room. He asked every executive to sit down. Only Jim remained standing. The CEO smiled and announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, I would like you to meet your next chief executive officer." He placed his hand on Jim's shoulder. "His name is Jim." The room erupted in confusion. People looked at one another in disbelief. One executive finally blurted out, "How can this be? He couldn't even grow his seed." The CEO raised his hand for silence. Then he revealed the truth. "1 year ago, I gave each of you a seed. But I gave every one of you boiled seeds. They were dead. It was impossible for any of them to grow." The room became completely silent. The CEO continued, "Every one of you discovered that your seed will not grow. Instead of bringing back the seed I entrusted to you, you replaced it with another. You brought me flowers, you brought me trees, you brought me beautiful plants, but they were not grown from my seed." Then he looked at Jim. Jim alone had the courage to be honest. He alone trusted truth more than appearance. He brought me exactly what I had given him. That is the kind of integrity this company needs. That is why Jim will become our next chief executive officer. What a profound lesson, isn't it? Honesty is the best policy, huh? Integrity is revealed not when everything goes well. Integrity is revealed when honesty seems costly, even when you know, "Oh my God, this is going to cost me my job." It is easier to appear successful. It is much harder to remain truthful when telling the truth may expose our weaknesses. You should remember that. Yet in the end, honesty always possesses a quiet strength that deception can never imitate. As we reflect upon this story, may we remember these simple truths. Plant honesty and you will reap trust. Plant goodness and you will cultivate genuine friendships. plant humility and you will gain wisdom and depth of character. Plant perseverance and you will discover contentment and lasting joy. Plant kindness and consideration and you will develop right vision and true perspective. Plant diligence and hard work and you will reap meaningful success. Then the last but not the least, plant forgiveness and you will harvest reconciliation, healing, and new beginnings. Most importantly, plant truth within your own heart. For every great spiritual tradition reminds us that truth is not merely something we speak, it is something we become. When honesty governs our thoughts, our words, and our actions, we become people whom others can trust. We become people of integrity. We become people whose lives quietly inspire others without ever needing to boast. As we have seen this morning, whether we turn to the Bible, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the teachings of the Buddha, the wisdom of Confucius, or the philosophy of the Tao, they all point towards the same timeless principle. Truthfulness is the foundation upon which a noble life is built. So let us leave this place resolved to live honestly, to live, not live, to live our life honestly, speak truthfully, act with compassion, and walk humbly. For honesty is indeed the best policy. Not simply because it avoids trouble, but because it brings peace to the conscience, strength to the character, trust to our relationships, and harmony to our communities. May the blessings of the Eternal One nourish us with wisdom, strengthen us with courage, guide us in truth, and fill our hearts with compassion. May we become people whose words can be trusted, whose actions reflect integrity, and whose lives bear witness to the quiet power of honesty. May the peace of the Eternal One be with us, guide us, and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.